Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of 1 John chapter 5, I was comparing putting arsenic into medicine to using a corrupted text to translate the Bible. So let's pick up with that thought today. John chapter 1 verse 3 says this about him. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. Without him was not anything made that was made. And if you have any doubts whether that's referring to Jesus, he said in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. But you see, that is so simply stated, it's not difficult to understand. Jesus Christ was God come in the flesh, and he created the heaven and the earth. God created everything. And that's why it's important to believe in creation. How can you believe, if you believe in evolution, that there's an almighty God? How do we come to the understanding of an almighty God if there's not a creation? You see, evolution, things evolve, and so man in his mind says, well, there is a God. And usually they develop it to a point of, well, God created us, and he's kind of an agnostic attitude. He created us, and he kind of put some things in order, but after you set it in order, it kind of lets it go and lets it operate itself, and they decide on how to get to heaven. No, the Bible tells us how to get to heaven. That's why God's word is preserved. And these people that say, well, it's preserved in all the manuscripts are people that will take the corrupted manuscripts and put them together with the right manuscripts and just say, well, let's put them all together. Let's take out some of the things that we want out of there. Isn't it interesting that they want the blood out of there? I mean, Colossians 1:14, if they use their manuscripts, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, but doesn't put in through his blood in those that translate from those other manuscripts. Why would you put arsenic with a medicine that will heal you? It has the opposite effect. Instead of heal, it will kill. Don't mix arsenic with a medicine that is supposed to cure you. And that's what you're doing when you take these scriptures of corrupted text and use them and try to replace the true word of God. And it's the true word of God because he preserved it. He says he did. And you've got to call him a liar to believe it's not preserved. He said from this generation. Isn't generations on earth? Heaven doesn't have generations. Generations are on earth. So from this generation, he's saying this generation on earth. In heaven, it's a record. On earth, it's a preserved thing because men don't see it as a settled record because men argue about it all the time. But in record of heaven, it is sure. So he created life. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, then only he can give eternal life. I think of Adam's body. Remember that story? God created Adam out of the dust of the ground. And then what did God do? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. That was spirit. The body of Adam was life. So we would be if we did not have the breath of life. But it's by that God waited after he formed his body, made everything about his body. He waited to breathe into his nostrils last the breath of life. He was there, and then he breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. Why? So that we would see that the body is not the life, but the spirit. Because the spirit is what is made in God's image, not the body. It is the spirit that is made in God's image. Remember, Jesus Christ did not have a human body until 2,000 years ago. We see another example in Ezekiel chapter 37, in the valley of dry bone. When all those bones come together, when Ezekiel gives the command for them to come together, they come together, and flesh comes upon them, and there's a big valley there filled with bodies, with flesh upon them, bones and everything else, but there's no life in it. And God will ask Ezekiel, can these bones live? And, you know, as many a student has said on a test here taken, oh Lord God, only thou knowest, okay? Thou knowest. But now, in this particular case, there's this pause between the bodies come together and before he says, now command the wind, and the wind comes upon them and the breath is back into them. And it's a picture of the coming together of Israel in unbelief as it is, I believe, today. But it's not until the end of the tribulation when Christ comes back that the breath of life is put into them. As a matter of fact, I believe that because as a result of that, they enter into a kingdom after they have been cleansed and fit for that kingdom by the coming back of Jesus Christ. And we read in Zechariah chapter 12 of all the repentance that goes on during that time. So we have the very book of the Bible here that's telling us about these things here. It's, again, a picture of the Spirit departing this body without Christ. When we come to that, the Spirit leaves this body that's without Christ, and it goes to an eternal damnation. But it doesn't cease to exist. It does not escape the torment and that lake of fire. It is there forever. You see, they have the Spirit forever. But belief in Christ, belief in God's Word, makes us have eternal life. See, these people do not have eternal life that are in hell, even though they are living in the sense that they are living spirits, very conscious of everything that's about them going on. God prepares us a body. We're not going to have the same body. Now, it'd be great that when we get to heaven, and, you know, I'm at that age now that sometimes when the weather's going to be bad, people my age, their bodies can have aches in their bones and other areas that the weather affects the way they feel. We got things we can't see as like we used to see them with our eyes. We can't move as quickly as we used to move. So when we get to heaven, we're going to have a glorified body. We're going to have a body made likened to Christ's body. You know, it's fashioned after his body, likened to his body. We're not going to be looked exactly like Christ. It's going to be fashioned after his body. But he'll change these vile bodies that we have now, the book of Philippians chapter 3 tells us. And that's a great promise. But the man in hell, the body that he has, will be a body that will not be quite exactly like the human body. The human body now, if you put it in the fire, it will turn to ashes eventually. But the body they have will feel all the pain a present human body would feel, but it will not be able to cease to exist. It will not go out of existence. A body that feels totally the pain and the burning and the torments of hell, with no hope, they will have that of their personality, of their conscience, of their mind, where all of us in our mind, we may seek a hope, we may seek a feeling of good or whatever, but here they'll have no hope. It's a psychological disaster, okay, because there's no counsel in the world that's going to deliver them from it if they die without Jesus Christ. But if they'll come to the great counselor, the Lord Jesus Christ, for their salvation while they're alive in this lifetime, then when they pass from here, they'll pass from death unto life. Okay? And so, that's not Andy Bloom's promise. That is the promise of God. So we need to understand that. But not only understand that, you need to believe it. Why? Because it's true. He that hath the Son hath life. Now you remember in John chapter 6 and verse 37, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Now would Jesus lie? He said, of course not. Okay. You come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. That's his promise. But it must be in this lifetime. In John 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name. When I received Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a son of God. And as a result of that, we go to verse 13. Now let's read that verse again, because it's a very important verse here that we understand it. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now when you're believing on the name, that is, you're relying on his person. You're trusting who he is and what he is. And you're trusting him with your eternal life. In other words, you have put your life in his hands. Now, you can say you trust an airline pilot and the airline itself. Okay, you can say that all you want. But if you don't get on the jet when you need to go somewhere and it's offered to you to go and it's free, if you don't get on, then my friend, you've got a problem. You don't really trust. You're not willing to rely on. You're not willing to trust them with your life. First time I went to Israel, I was invited by the Ministry of Tourism of Israel. Therefore, my flight on their LL jet was a pleasant flight. We flew straight from New York to Israel. Now, flying that far, the very first time I ever flew that far, it was still an experience to do it, but I believed that it would take me there. I believed the pilot. I'd never met the pilot. I'd never met Jesus Christ in his physical body, but I knew that he did everything for me, just like I knew that pilot had did everything to qualify to fly that jet. And if you know Israel, they're not going to let him if he's not able to, okay? They are very thorough over there. And so here's a person that says, I believe that jet can fly me to Israel. It's okay, hey, it's free. Get on. He won't get on. Even though he wants to go, he won't get on. And my friend, he doesn't have faith. He believes in his head all the concepts and would even agree that they're true and that it could fly him there. But he's still not willing to trust him with his life. So when you trust Christ your life, you're giving your life to him and you're trusting your life to him. But now it's his way. You've got to get on his way.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my